Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and those that know me know I just love preaching about Mary. And Mary, we're going to talk about Mary. We're going to preach on needed, highly favored mothers. Amen. Highly favored mothers. Now, I would say to the young men out there that's looking for a wife, and one day going to pick you a wife and choose you a wife, make sure she highly favored. Amen. Get you a highly favored mother. Amen. Highly favored mother. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, 26 through 31. It says in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you, Father God. We thank you for highly favored mothers. We thank you for spirit-filled women of God, women who reverence God and fear God and love God and hunger and thirst for God, women of integrity and moral character, women that want to serve you and worship you, women who hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, women who give God glory in everything they do. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think about my mother, and I think about my relationship with her, and I was one of them boys that just hung on her. If she was at Atlantic Mills, I was at Atlantic Mills. If she was at A&P, I was at A&P. And if I touched something I wasn't supposed to touch, she slapped me. But it didn't stop me from just hanging on, because I love my mother. And I think about the day I came home. I believe I might have been 12 years old, and my mother wasn't there, because I had a father who I loved dearly and taught me a lot of things. And sometimes you learn a lot by mistakes.
Amen.
My father was a good father, but my father liked to drink. And when he drank, he liked to hit. And when he drank, he liked having babies by other women. But he hit a lot when he drank, because he drank a lot. And my mother just couldn't take it no more. And I come home at 12, and mom wasn't there. Didn't see her no more for a long time. But Matthew said something this morning. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And then when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, as a child, you don't understand all the time what's going on in a marriage until you are in a marriage. You really don't understand the effects of alcohol as a 12-year-old boy, but as you get older, you understand how damaging it could be.
Amen.
Now, I think about this, and I know some of our young people in here, they're going to experience alcohol and drugs and different things like that because, you know, that's just what the world teaches them. But I say this. I thank God for our mothers because when my mother wasn't there, when I came home from school and my sister like, "Mom, gum, you ain't going to see her no more." And I really didn't see her anymore until I was around 17, 18, able to drive and get to her. And we had a wonderful, wonderful relationship till the time she passed at 57. But in between that, God sent me some great mothers to sort of bridge the gap. I think of Miss Armour and how Miss Armour just took me in. Did everything she could to get me to eat asparagus, but I couldn't do it. But every time I showed up, she had a meal for me. She loved me like I was on. I had access to their home. Miss Miller, good friend of mine, Bruce Miller and Ron Armour were my best buds. And they knew what was going on, but they never criticized my mother. They never criticized my father. They just understood because they were people that understood. But one lady stands out as above them all. And that was Miss Della Fordham. Miss Della Fordham. I met Della at my first job. I was working in Austintown in Mahoney County Nursing Home. And Della was there, and I needed a ride. I said, "Della, I need a ride because I wasn't driving." And I said, "Can you get me a ride to work?" And she said, "Sure can." I said, "What time are you picking me up?" She said, "I don't pick up men." Della stayed in the projects. Della stayed in the projects, and I stayed all the way up on Alameda. And she said, "I leave for work at 8 o'clock. And I walked to her house every day. Walked to her house from Alameda to the projects, and she drove me to work. Now, she wouldn't make me walk home. She dropped me off at home after we'd done our shifts. But you know what Della taught me? That life is precious. Amen. Mothers are precious. Because one morning, I went to Della's home to get taken to work, and Della had passed away. She had a massive heart attack and died.
Yeah.
And died. And it was one of the most sad and heartbreaking occasions in my life. I knew my mother was going to pass because she had cancer, and I knew the doctor told me, Dr. Perry said it was just a matter of time. But when I walked into that home and everybody was there and everybody was crying, Della had passed away, it just moved me to no ends. So when I think about mothers, I think about my own. I think about Miss Armour and Miss Miller and Miss Della Fordham. And I say that, you young people cherish your mothers. And you may not understand right now. You might not understand right now. You might say, "Right now, my mom ain't something wrong." It ain't you understand by and by. I thought about this. Like, "Are you gonna do a Hallmark sermon?" I'm not gonna do a Hallmark sermon. You say, "Well, you don't do a Hallmark sermon." Listen, I'm gonna preach the gospel.
Amen.
I'm gonna preach the gospel, but I want to talk about what's needed.
Amen.
Highly favor women.
Amen.
Mothers. What's a highly favored woman? What does it mean to be favored? That's interesting. And I thought about it. Favor means grace. It means grace. It means that if you're a mother here, you ought to have a favor about you, a sweetness, a charm, a loveliness, a joy. That's part of being highly favored. So when the angel Gabriel came looking for Mary, I don't think he had to look hard. She probably was on her knees praying or studying or worshiping God. He was looking for this woman that God had said was highly favored. A woman that had what we call spiritual integrity. She was heavenly. Now I'm saying something. I'm talking to the saved folks. She was heavenly. She was pious. That's a word mean. She would work hard to be right with God.
Amen.
She wanted to do what God would have her to do. She understood good and evil, right and wrong. And to be pious means I'm going to do what's right. Integrity talks about truthfulness, talks about honesty and uprightness. I found this word when I looked at it, veracity. How about that? Veracity. You know what that means? She's accurate. She's reliable. She's dependable. Those kind of women God would use. And say, I don't know what God wants me to do. Then make sure you're right with God.
Amen.
Make sure you're right with God. Make sure you have favor. Make sure you have grace. All of us should. Now, to the men too. See, it says that's about Jesus in Luke 4:22. And it says, and all bear witness. Jesus had been preaching and talking to the people. And remember, Jesus only got a little nasty with the Pharisees. Okay? But when he was talking to the people, he was a sweetness about him, a grace about him, a charm about him. There was a loveliness about Jesus that should be found in all of us who call ourselves men and women of God.
Amen.
There ought to be a sweetness about us. I'm saying, Pastor, you know, some of us just ain't no sweetness in us. Well, we need to ask God. God, I want to be sweet.
Amen.
I want to have that charm. I do. I want to be lovely in your eyes, not in the world's eyes. I want to be lovely in God's eyes.
Amen.
Jesus was, and it says, and all bear witness, Luke 4:22. All bear witness of him. I mean, they watched him. They watched him. And as once you claim the name, folks watching you. Once you say, you know what, I've been saved, I've been born again, I've been quickened, as a song saying, I've been made alive.
Amen.
Now you got to have people watching you. And they say, all bear witness and wonder. Listen, what did they wonder at? At the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. They knew he was from another place. Because they went to finish and said, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? They couldn't believe it. That kind of sweetness. Paul says this in Ephesians 4:29. I mean, y'all know I can't preach a sermon. If I ever preach a sermon, don't mention Paul, then y'all know something's up. Paul says this. Talk about the sweetness that ought to flow from the believer. Okay? So you can tell a lot about a person about what come out of their mouth. Paul said there ought to be a sweetness that come out of your mouth. Watch. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:29. But that which is good, that which is graceful, that which is sweet, to the use of edifying. Edifying means bringing folks together. You don't want to say nothing that's going to be divisive. Folk need to be brought together. He said, that which is good to the use of edifying. See, sometimes you just ought not say nothing.
All right.
If it's not going to be edifying.
Amen.
Why? That it may minister grace into the hearers. Into the hearers. So, we think about that. We think about spiritual integrity. We think about Mary having this. We think about all of us should have it. Now, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble. We're going to trip. You know, we're going to say some stuff. You know, David was a master at saying some stuff. But you know what? God still said that he was a man after my own heart.
Amen.
You know, we tell the story about David when he was out, and he was out in the world. He had been on the run, and he ran into the king, and he started faking like he was crazy. His behavior changed before Abimelech. His behavior changed. But when David learned from that, and we got to learn from our mistakes. We got to learn from our past. We got to learn from the things that we do that we know don't give God glory. Because we don't get to our quiet place and ask yourself, and I do often, did I give God glory? I did a memorial service out to where I work at. And then I asked myself, did I give God glory? Before I even do anything, I'm just trying to speak for God. I'm getting ready to speak. Am I going to give God glory? David said this. Y'all familiar with it? David said this in Psalms 34. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What are you saying? See, when I open my mouth, I'm gonna give God praise. I'm not saying I'm not going to have fun. I'm not going to tell a joke or two here or there. But you know what? All you eat, drink, and do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, due to the glory of God, we ought to give God glory. And David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. And the humble shall hear, therefore, and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Mary was a believer, and her life glorified God. Secondly, I look at Mary as a highly favored woman or a highly favored mother. What she was clothed in. Now, I'm not talking about physical clothes. We read Proverbs 31 this morning. Jacinda read it. But let me read it again. I'm going to pick it up at 25. Because we're talking about highly favored mothers. This Proverbs 31 woman was a highly favored mother. What made her highly favored? See, we have to ask the question. I say it all the time. When you're reading the scripture, ask the scripture some questions. Say, scripture, what are you trying to say? Because, see, when we know better, we do better. See, there's a time where you have to ask, what made her the great woman that she was, so great that God would put her in the Word of God? It says in verse 25, she clothed herself. Bible says, strength and honor are her clothing. She wore this thing. Now, I'm not saying she wore the same clothes every day, but spiritually she did. Amen. She put on her spiritual clothing every day, and it was strength and honor. It says this, and she shall rejoice in time to come. You put on strength and honor? You put it on, you wear it? That's evidence that time to come, that's heaven she's talking about. In time to come, she shall rejoice. Because you ain't always going to rejoice down here. Amen. But let me tell you something. You put on strength because you need it to make it down here. You need strength and you need honor. And when you put on honor, folk are going to attack you. Amen. Bible says all who desire to live godly in Christ, all who desire to put on strength and honor will be persecuted. But you know what? Take the persecution. Take it like a woman. Take it like a man, because you're going to rejoice in time to come. Look at this next thing. Her mouth was just full of wisdom. And that's that Solomon type wisdom. See, when Solomon took over the kingship, he didn't even have what it took. Take. He said, God, you got a great people here, you put me over. But I need wisdom, not the world's wisdom. Amen. Not the world. You can't lead God's people with the world's wisdom. We try to do it and we fail. Says she opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Here's our word. You want to be a highly favored mother. Listen to what come out of your mouth. Kindness ought to come out of your mouth, or you can write it off. She looked well into the ways of her household and needed not the bread of idleness. You know, she wasn't a gossiper. She ain't sitting around. See, the Bible say, I don't mind. It's the devil's workshop. You need to find something to do. Find something to do with that energy that God has given you, or you could become a gossiper. God, there's a whole lot to gossip about. Okay? And we can talk about the singing. We don't hear that singing. They sounded bad. And Minister Madison, oh, that prayer, that was bad. And Minister Bryan, oh, that Sunday school lesson, he really messed it up. And the pastor, I'm so sick of him. Amen. Sometimes I get sick of it. Hearing myself. Pastor, do something different. Ain't nothing different. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Amen. Listen, here's a good one. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Let me tell you something. Like I said before, you ain't gonna understand everything as a child. Jasmine, you ain't gonna understand everything your mother done went through, or watching your sister, you ain't gonna understand everything they going through, but you will. By and by. You will. You will when you arise up. See, everybody's like, oh, you at 13, 12, 13, as long as you're giving your kids candy and letting them, taking them to the different places, and to, you know, they, I got a great mother. You'll find out if you got a great mother when you rise up. You'll find out how great your mother is when you're 40 years old, maybe. You'll find out. You'll find out. Since her children rise up and call her blessed. And her husband also, and he praises her. You know why? Because see, once you say you're a woman of God, and you in the house, now your children, see, my boys and my wife, they my eyewitnesses. They watch everything I do. Amen. They watch how I handle things. They watch how I handle adversity. They watch how I handle rejection and denial. They watch how I handle my wife, everything, because they my eyewitnesses. And now the woman that God favored knows that their children are my eyewitnesses. They watch. They listen. They listen. See, the story was told. Little boy was in the back seat on the way home from church, and the father was just ripping the church. Oh, the choir. Oh, the preacher. He didn't preach worth a nickel today. And then, you know, and the ushers was bad. The church was too hot or too cold, and the little boy in the back seat said, "What, Dad? What did you expect for a dollar?" Because they watching. They watching. They watching. Listen, keep on going. Proverbs 31. Look at 29. It said, "Many daughters have done virtuously." Virtuously, excuse me, but thou excellest them all. Amen. Amen. You see, we're talking about inward beauty here. Now, see, some of us, we so outward. We work on the outside. We work on the outside, and we painting it up and covering it up, and we work on the outside, but we're not doing no interior work. Okay, we you know, the inside, the pipes is rusting all out. The whole infrastructure is bad, but we working on the outside. You know, putting on. Amen. But we not doing no inside. See, serving God is an inside job. Amen. Okay, we serve God from what's on the inside. Okay, some of y'all run late every Sunday because you're working on the outside. Now, I can see somebody say, "I'm running late because I was on my knees and I was praying to God, give me favor, and God give me grace and give me kindness and gentleness. And the time got away from me." Listen, favor is deceitful. Now, this is Proverbs. See, this is just Proverbs. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praise. Let me tell you something. Them beauties, them good looks, they gonna go away. Okay? Them, you know, you tight now. Okay? You tight now. When you got your stilettos on and your calf muscles is showing, and you got your sleeveless tank top on, you wearing your wife beaters, and you all buff, that's going to go away. That's what it means. Favor is deceitful. There's going to come a time where you're going to have to stand on what's in you. And that's that outside cause. Beauty is vain. And if you're working on that, and that's what all you have to attract someone of the opposite, you're not going to be able to keep them or her. Because beauty is vain. And this is what I say to any young man. Any young man. Find you a woman that feareth the Lord. Amen. Because if a woman don't fear the Lord, if she don't have reverence for the Lord, she's not going to have reverence for you. Amen. Oh, man, nobody want to hear me. That's just the way it go. And you get one, we get, oh, she hot. Rihanna type. You know, she's sexy. No God. No God. No God. And when you stop finding her sexy, she going to keep on trying till somebody else find her sexy. Because most of them need it. They need it. They need folks to tell them, tell me I'm beautiful because my husband won't. No. Favor. I'm getting out of here. It's Mother's Day. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised.
Amen.
She shall be praised. Let me give you an example of what that looked like. Because somebody said, well, Pastor, you know, what's that look like? I'm going to use scripture. Because I'm going to give you two Proverbs 31 women found in 2 Timothy. Here's two Proverbs 31 women found in 2 Timothy. And Paul was so thankful. He's so thankful because, see, when the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament is thankful, God is thankful. Paul says in verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now watch this. Watch this. He's just two women, a grandmother and a daughter. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded, totally convinced, that is in thee also talking about Timothy. Now, Pastor, what are you talking about? Unfaked faith. This is that kind of faith that the Proverbs 31 woman had. This faith don't move. Right. Situations don't move this faith. Adversity don't move this faith. Persecution don't move this faith.
Amen.
No, this is the faith that's steadfast, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of God. And Paul said, they just didn't have it. It just wasn't on the shelf. It wasn't some passing thing. Paul said, which dwelled, which made its dwelling, which was constant with these women. You come to their house, and you know what you was going to find. You was going to find two women that gave God praise and worship for everything. I hear folks giving God's thanks, and I hear these ministers preaching this morning and teaching. You know, we got an ungrateful church. Because, see, we sometimes forget how good God has been.
Amen.
And if you tell me you saved, you tell me you've been born again, that you've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, then really what you're saying is, watch me, because the Holy Ghost dwells in me.
Amen.
It dwells in me. That's why when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, stop. You must be born again. You must have the Spirit of God abiding in you.
Amen.
And what he was saying, you need to reboot your hard drive because it's a mess. And you need to take the hard drive of the Lord and put it in you. Look at Jesus. Let Jesus talk. Jesus was preaching in John 14. I'm going to look at verse 23. He says this. He says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, two words I want you to watch, keep and abide. Watch. He said, if a man love me. And now if you say you're a Christian, what you're saying is, I love Jesus. You sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. You sing it. Okay, you love Jesus. He's first in your life. If a man love me, he will keep my words. That means he's going to keep them like a safe. He's going to keep them. And when he needs something, he's not going to call on Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz or Oprah, anybody like that. He's going to go to his own personal storehouse where he keeps the word of God. And he's going to go to the word of God and say, word of God, here's the situation. How should I address it? and my Father will love him. Amen. Your Father loves you when you come to him. And all of us in here, there's a Father, we love him when our children come to us with a situation they can't handle. Amen. Better come to me than go to the dope boy or the crack boy or whatever. Amen. Come to your Father. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's a lot of saying dwell. These women had the word of God in them. How did it get in them, Pastor? How did it get in them? I guarantee they didn't get in them by watching YouTube videos all day. I guarantee you didn't get them watching, look on Facebook all day and following the Cavs all day and the Browns all day and the Steelers all day. You got to take some time. You got to make an investment and get some word in you. I hear it all the time. Why did this 18, 20-year-old boy walk up into a playground the other day and stab a 7-year-old girl in the back? Why? Godless. See, why did he do that? What makes somebody do that? I'm going to tell you, if you're here and you don't have the power of God working in your life, you could do it.
Amen.
You could do it.
Amen.
You could stand out at the mall and just shoot people. Why does a man just stand outside the mall and just shoot people? Godless, no power. And when you don't have the power of God in your life working, you got the power of the devil in your life working. There's just two powers working in this world. It's just two. It's not three. You know, I used to sit there, y'all know, working in the prison, and I watched my co-workers. Why? Look at him. He ain't no good. Why could he do that? Look, you could do it.
Amen.
You could do worse than him. Amen. Matter of fact, there ain't a crime you couldn't commit.
Amen.
Without the will of God, without the power of God working in your life, you can do anything.
Amen.
And you can sit here and deny it all you want.
Amen.
It's only by the grace of God. Some of us in here ain't killed nobody already. Over anything. Know some of y'all. Just if y'all had a gun, you'd have been in jail. Just didn't have your gun on you. Oh, y'all, the football player down in Atlanta, man, he ran in the back of the man and took off. And the man came up there and just shot him all up. Like you couldn't do it. Oh, y'all know y'all can do some stuff. Y'all know y'all can do some stuff. Some of y'all just too arrogant. Too proud.
Amen.
There ain't nothing you couldn't do. You're born with the devil. Let me tell you something. You're born with the devil.
Amen.
Okay, you're born with the devil. You're born with a devil's nature. And this is why Paul, this is why the word of God said, you must be born again.
Amen.
This is why I said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You need a new working system. He's a new creature. Behold, look at me. I'm changed. I could have been a rapist. I could have been a pedophile. I could have been a transgender. I could have been anything. Because I was serving the devil. And if the devil would have said, I want you, when you turn 55, to declare to the whole world and stand up on ESPN and cry and say, I'm a transgender, I would have done it. Because I was under the power of the devil. And if you're not saved, if you in here today and you're not saved, you can be the biggest hole on the block. You can be. You can be the biggest dope boy. You can be the biggest crackhead. You can be the whatever. You can be whatever Satan tell you to be. You know why? Because I'm gonna be whatever God tell me to be. And if my God says I want you to be this, your God gonna do the same. He got power. See, the word of God said, when we were lost, when we was dead in our trespasses, we was under the power of the evil one. And the evil one said, listen, I want you to kill somebody for me. Say the word. I'm yours. I'm yours. Oh, y'all hear me? That's just truth. That's just truth. I'm telling you like I know. I just thank God he saved me. Okay? And if God take his hand off me, I can do some stuff. Listen, let me talk about this woman, this highly favored woman. Look, turn with me. This is an interesting one here in 1 Corinthians 7:14. This is the power of a woman with favor or a mother with favor. Because he had power over your whole house. You go to somebody's house, they got whole house heating, whole house air conditioner. They ain't got no window air conditioner. They got air conditioner. Okay, sitting outside, and it air cools the whole house off when it's hot. Now, here's what Paul is saying. He's saying this. He said, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. Now, somebody said, Pastor, I've read that before. What's that saying? That's not saying that your children, because you are saved, are going to heaven. Amen. It's not what that's saying. Amen. Okay? What it's saying is because of you, because of the Holy Spirit that's in you, and because of your prayers, and because of your worship of God, your whole house is blessed to be in your presence. That husband who is unbelieving, because God looks on you. Okay? Because he gets to witness you. He gets to witness how you carry yourself. He gets to witness your conversation, your behavior, how you talk on the phone. All that. He's like, God is working in my wife. Maybe I need what she has. Vice versa. The kids are watching how you handle different situations, how you handle your husband, how you handle them when they're crazy. That's right. Some of us got some crazy kids. And they watching. I know I'm crazy. Let me tell you something. These kids know they're crazy. They not sitting here faking. I tell Cindy all the time. She say, why are y'all acting like that? I say, Cindy, they're not acting. That's who they are. They crazy. Okay? Now, you tell me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. I got the power working God in me. Well, you know what Satan said? Well, I'm going to send you some crazy. Mister, I got the power of God working in me. Mister, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Listen, work with these. Let's see your power on display. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. Y'all remember the story of Ruth? See, Naomi had a good witness for Ruth. Naomi watched Ruth. She said, okay, husband died. Older son died. Second boy died. She still, what's Naomi doing? Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord in the good times, in the bad. Praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. And you know what? When it came down and Naomi got the call, not like we get calls when you text her and say, bread is in Bethlehem. She found out that there was bread in Bethlehem. She said, I'm going back to Bethlehem because God is sending favor to Bethlehem. And you know what? The oldest daughter kissed her and said, going back to my peoples. And Ruth said, I ain't going nowhere. I'm paraphrasing this because I ain't write it down. It just come to me. Ruth said, I ain't going nowhere. She said, your God will be my God. And your people will be my people. And when they bury you, they're going to bury me. Why? Because Ruth's salvation was triggered by Naomi's awesome testimony of the grace and mercy of God. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Mary, I preached this in 2012. Queen of Soul. Queen of Soul. Mary, Queen of Soul. Okay, so some of y'all probably say, I got that highlighted. Well, listen, Mary was a person whose soul, praise God. Let me tell you something now. Okay, if you're a highly favored mother, then you have a soul that praises God. That praises God, makes God huge. When they see you, they see God. Child of God, woman of God, man of God, young man of God, young lady of God. When you say, I'm born again, I'm saved. What you're saying is God is huge in my life. He's big in my life. And when you look at me, I want you to see God. That ought to be our goal. When we go into high school, we go into our workplace of employment, wherever we go, we ought to be giving God glory. What's wrong? A little kind of glory on that young brother or that young lady, because, see, our job is to magnify the Lord. We ought to make God big. You get a magnifying glass. You ever get a magnifying glass? We used to get them. We used to let them burn worms up and stuff. Burn up ants. Get the sun. And we was. See, that's what happened. I had that sin nature. Some of y'all done this. Now, y'all ain't going to sit here. Don't y'all. Y'all going to sit here and leave me up here by myself? Like, y'all ain't had a magnifying glass. Just put it on the back of your sister's neck with the sun. You don't count. I know you did everything. I know you did. Listen, get that magnifying glass. That magnifying glass, bring out, make it big, and put that heat on it. And you watch them little ants, they just frizzle all up. I'm so glad God saved me. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, here's Mary. Luke 1:46. I just love this. I just love this. And here's Mary. And Mary said, after God had called her and told her what he was going to do, he said, my soul do magnify the Lord. My soul do magnify the Lord. My soul, what's inside of me? Don't worry about the outside. See, we worry about the outside. Oh, she got pretty lips. Oh, she got pretty hair. Oh, and I'm as far as I'm going with that. Okay? And we looking at the outside. What's in there? What's in there? What's in that soul? You can find you a woman that magnify the Lord. You got you something special. Amen. You got you something special. Look, my soul do magnify the Lord. My soul make the Lord big. And my spirit. Listen. In my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. In my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior. Listen, Peter knew something about the Lord. He knew something about the Lord. And 1 Peter, we don't think about Peter as a worshiper. Sometimes we don't think about these men of God, great men and women of God, as worshipers. Peter was a worshiper. Peter was a worshiper. In 1 Peter 1:8, Peter was a worshiper. He understood and he made God big. Matter of fact, when Peter went to die, when they went to crucify Peter, he said, don't crucify me. Right side up. Crucify me upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior, like my Lord. Peter said this. He said, whom having not seen, whom having not seen, ye love. And whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice. How did we rejoice, Peter? With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. The man or woman of God that soul praises God is just full of glory. Full of glory. Full of glory. Are you full of glory? Are you full of glory? Those are tough questions. Shouldn't be. Because you're a child of God. And if you're not full of glory, you say, God, fill me with your glory. Yeah. You know, do it while you have a chance. Because, you know, tomorrow not guaranteed. Amen. But God can fill you up with his glory. He can fill you up with his glory. He can fill you up with his glory. Listen, I'm going to close. Mary was a woman hungry for God. Hungry for God. Mary was a woman that was hungry for God. When she sang that great magnificent, she sang this one verse in verse 53 of Luke 1. He hath filled the hungry with good things. And the rich he hath sent away empty. Mary understood. Mary understood that it's good to be hungry. David wrote this. David wrote this in Psalm 34 and 10. He said, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, amen. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. But see, if you ain't want today, you know, that one ought to start with a want for the things of God. Mm-hmm. It ought to start with a want for the things of God. David was one who loved God, who loved being in God's presence, who loved being under the preaching of the word of God, who loved being under the singing of the word of God, who loved being around the saints of God, loved being around the people of God, loved being in God's house. And he wrote Psalms 122. Y'all know it. He said, I was glad. David said, I was glad. My heart rejoiced. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you feel that way? Amen. When the clock went off this morning, were you happy it went off? Amen. Was you glad that you even heard it? Oh, I'm so glad I heard the clock go off. Somebody was preaching that this morning. Somebody was speaking. I was just good to be able to hear. Some folks didn't hear nothing this morning.
Amen.
You know, one of my boys asked me how many people die every day. You know what? We looked online. 214,000 people die every day. That means tomorrow, 214,000 people are going to die. That's a lot of people. 214,000 people are going to die tomorrow. 214,000 people died today. Died today. Just died today. Had appointments.
Amen.
Had tickets. You know, had things they had planned somewhere. I'm going to Florida in June. You know, I'm going here. I got taking my mom out to Mother's Day. But 214,000, excuse me, died yesterday. Never going to see their mother again if their mother was alive. So, do you hunger after the things of God? The Bible says, for he satisfied the longing of the soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Some of our souls is empty. We don't have God in us like we should. And we know we can pour it in. We need to pour it in. Times are trouble. And you know, when you think about what God has done, if you're saved. See, this is why I always say, you know, the church is for saved folks. The church is God's, call it ecclesia. It's for God's called out one. Those that have been called by God and have received God as their Lord and Savior, then they come to church where they can hear the word of God.
Amen.
Some folks don't like hearing the word of God because they're not saved.
Amen.
And then, you know, I want to hear it. But if you understand fully, and I've been going on the John 3:16 thing, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whomsoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then you understand God died for you.
Amen.
God died for you. He died for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell.
Amen.
He died for you so you wouldn't have to burn and spend all eternity in hell.
Amen.
Now, if you just have that, Paul says there's a reasonable service. You know, and when you just think about that, that's reason enough to serve God. So Paul puts it like this. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's not coming at you himself. He said, God's mercy, John 3:16. He said, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is
your
reasonable service. It's the least you could do. I mean, it's the very least you can do is to present yourself as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Man, that's why I say that ain't simple. Yeah, it's not. If you don't have it, there's a reasonable service that is required of us based on what God has done for us.
Amen.
And all of us, God has been good.
Amen.
God has been good to all of us. He's been so good. And some of y'all, I know, because we're a small church now. You know, if you go to one of them churches with 10,000 folks, you know, and they got parking attendants in the parking lot waving people in, you know, I don't know what they've been through. I wouldn't know if I ran into them at the mall or something. But I know what y'all been through.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all going through, and you need God.
Amen.
You need God's power in working in your life. You need God's power working in your marriage. You need God's power working in you so your children can see that witness. So they can see how you handle yourself in the dark times. And handle yourself when adversity comes. Say, man, you know what? I watch my mother. I know. I guarantee you, your kids watching you. They watching you. I know mine is. Mine is. And I appreciate them. I appreciate them. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the power of God that's in your house. Thank you for the people of God who know you, that worship you, that magnify you, that give you glory in all they do. Then we thank you, Father God, for those that we struggle sometimes. We struggle sometimes giving you glory. We struggle sometimes giving you praise and giving you honor and giving you worship. We struggle sometimes with our witness. We struggle sometimes with our testimony. We struggle sometimes being women of God. We struggle sometimes being good mothers. We struggle sometimes being good fathers. We struggle sometimes being good husbands and good wives and good children because we're in a fallen world. And this flesh that we're in is going to constantly beg us to serve it. Beg us to serve it. Serve me. The flesh is saying, serve me. Do what feels good and do it all the time. Let us eat, drink, and be merry. Don't believe all that craziness. That man is crazy. He crazy. The flesh is saying he's crazy. He's a fool. Father, give him wisdom. Wisdom from above. Let him cry out like Solomon. Give me wisdom to control this body. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for these ministers. Thank you for these preachers that are in the audience. Thank you for all the mothers. Thank you, Father God, for sending me mothers when my mother wasn't there. Sending me mothers to look after me and to love me and to keep me pressed toward the mark. I could have quit. I could have just quit. But they got me through school. They got me through college. They got me through. And I thank you for them. I thank you for them. I thank you for them. And if there's a mother out there like that today, embrace these young people. Hug them and love them and share them. Share your life with them. Share your life with them. What is love if we don't give it away? What is it if we keep it to ourselves? It's not love. It's not love. Love gives. And the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Father, thank you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen.